Well, let us go ahead and begin our time of worship with our call to worship. Called by God to be people of prayer, we gather today as people of prayer. Mighty God, we come into your powerful presence with hope in our hearts. May we pray with the same focus and strength with which we receive our prayers. Flow through our prayers and our worship this day, that we may rediscover childlike trust even as we mature in faith. Amen.
At this time, we will have our opening scripture, and it's taken from Psalms 119, verse 97 through 104. And if you are familiar with Psalms, you know that 119 is the longest of all the Psalms with 176 verses. And we're not going to do all 176. But Psalms 119 is also the longest chapter in the whole Bible. And Psalm 19... It refers on how wonderful and true God's words is. So, I love your instruction. I think about it constantly. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies because it is always with me. I have greater insight than all my teachers, because I contemplate your laws. I have more understanding than the elders, because I guard your precepts. I haven't set my feet on any evil path, so I can make sure to keep your word. I haven't deviated from any of your rules, because you are the one who has taught me. Your word is so pleasing to my taste buds. It's sweeter than honey in my mouth. I'm studying your precepts. That's why I hate every false path. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us go to our Lord in prayer. Dear gracious God, I thank you for everyone here today that has come to worship you. As your people, we come before you knowing you are a kind, loving, and forgiving God who knows our needs. We praise and thank you for that and for our many blessings. We thank you for the beautiful fall colors and the crops that are being harvested. Continue to watch over the farmers and keep them safe. Lord, we lift up to you in prayer those in our congregation that are dealing with health issues and need your healing touch. Those that mourn and need your comfort and peace. We lift up those that are struggling with difficulties in their life, whether it is financial problems, relationship problems. Give them strength and courage and the knowledge that you are with them in their struggles. Help us to reach out to others in need and be an extension of your love and grace. Lord, we thank you for the freedoms we have in our country. Bless our military men and women who serve our country and their dedication to keep us free. We know it is not an easy life for them. Be with the young men and women who choose to serve. As they train, give them strength and courage. Bless the leaders of our state and nation. Give them courage to seek your wisdom in their decisions. Bless our church and its leaders. and be with Pastor Ben as he brings us his message. May our hearts and minds be open to hear what he has to say. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, will you please join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. Hear now these words that Paul wrote to Timothy that we find in our scriptures this day. But you must continue with the things you have learned and found convincing. You know who taught you. Since childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures that help you to be wise in a way that leads to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. I'm giving you this commission in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is coming to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready to do it whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Correct, confront, and encourage with patience and instruction. There will come a time when people will not tolerate sound teaching. They will collect teachers who say what they want to hear because they are self-centered. They will turn their back on the truth and turn to myths. But you must keep control of yourself in all circumstances. Endure suffering. Do the work of a preacher of the good news and carry out your service fully. Is the word that we find in scriptures today. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we come before you thankful for this opportunity that we have to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to hear these words read aloud, to be able to gather together and lift up your name in prayer and praise, to practice generosity and gratitude in the offering. Lord, we're thankful for so much. And to be able to hear these words that Paul wrote to Timothy, may our hearts and minds be open to receive that which your Spirit would have us receive from these words. May the words from my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight, for you, Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer, now and forever. Amen. So I have to admit, sometimes when you're going about and doing the right thing, the thing that you just know needs to be done, even though it's going to be as difficult as you could possibly get out, it can be really easy just to go ahead and give up. We've all been there. We've all been there. This burden, this weight, sometimes it's just easier to walk away from it. It might be that you realize that you need to overcome an addiction because you've seen and experienced how this particular substance is ruining your life, but it's so hard because your brain and your body have become addicted, have been hooked on the need for it, that chemical dependency, and it's just hard to give up. It might be that you realize that gambling is ruining your finances and leading you towards broke if you're not there already. But that dopamine hit you get from hitting blackjack that 1 out of 1,000 times overrides all the other 999 times that the house won. Sometimes it's the fatigue from repeating the same mundane chore over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Nope, I don't need to sweep the floor today. It's just too much. Then sometimes it might be that you just don't know why you're continuing to do the right thing. Especially when you look around you and you see the people around you certainly aren't doing the right thing. Peer pressure, am I right? Yet we hear Paul sharing with Timothy this encouragement to keep on keeping on. To be persistent. And this is most certainly a good reminder for our discipleship journey to help encourage us in keeping the faith even when it seems difficult or hard. We need to be careful, though, that in our persistence, we don't mistake this keeping on, for being a method in which we earn our place in the kingdom. It's not this persistence that Paul is talking about. It's not about earning our place in heaven. It's still way too easy for us to slip into this mentality that we must earn our way into salvation. Instead, what this persistence is about is how we choose to respond to, not how we try to control, God's grace. This persistence is about continuing to respond to God's grace in our lives, not trying to continually control how God's grace should show up. Our activity ought to be in response to God's grace that is already present in our lives. Whether people are willing to listen or not, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable to do so, we are called to keep proclaiming this grace that is ever present in our lives. To keep offering God's grace and love, and to keep pointing to God's work in our lives and in the world. Be persistent and are constantly responding to God's grace. Granted, that's a lot easier said than done, like so many other things in our lives. It's easy to speak to a crowd when they're willing and even eager to listen. Isn't it so much easier to teach a group who's eager to listen and learn, even eager to follow by leaping at the slightest suggestion of something new and better and healthier? Even those who don't like to teach would find it enjoyable when those around them are encouraging them or saying, keep going, what you have to offer is great and valuable. That'd be so easy to do, to continue doing with that kind of an atmosphere, with that kind of an environment. And yet, let's be real here, that's not the normal experience now, is it? We see Paul writing to Timothy about itchy ears. You know that Paul is speaking from his own experience here as he himself recalls looking out into these crowds that he has taught, looking out into these crowds that he has preached to. And you know, he's seen those individuals that just seem to be nodding off. You know that he's seen these individuals and he's asked himself this question, are they really taking in what I'm saying? Are there a few nerve synapses that are quite bridging that gap with the electrical impulses? You know that Paul's looked into blank stares and eyes and just wondered, are they really getting this? Are they really hearing me? And I don't mean just like the reverberations in the air as they hit your eardrums. I mean, are they really taking in these words and living them? Are they contemplating how these words might be able to change their lives? Let me tell you, it's easy to get discouraged when it doesn't seem like anyone is listening and when it doesn't seem like anyone cares. And so you begin to ask yourself questions like, what if I spoke more like Andy Stanley? What if I was able to present a message more clearly like Rob Bell Or maybe I should adopt a different cadence and a different way of speaking like a Southern Baptist preacher. Maybe if I put an emphasis on every single syllable, one or two of them might actually get in there and stick. Yeah. And yet, at the end of the day, when you stop and realize, I gotta make sure I don't slip into Southern drawl again. At the end of the day, when you stop and you realize that you've learned the communication styles of these writers and these speakers and even emulated them to an extent, and when you've done them all, you still look out in a crowd and you still see blank stares right back at you. It's maddening. When you realize that you've become someone else, and it still doesn't happen. It's enough to make you become cynical. It's kind of interesting, though, to see how Paul gets there with his itchy ears comment. Because this text this morning where we started off with, you know, he's pretty much, it's an ode to Bible reading. He's saying to Timothy, remember when you fell in love with the Scriptures. Remember when you realized that the Bible was to become this influential and authoritative text in your life. That moment when you realized it's not just that you were told you should read it, but you actually found yourself wanting to come back to it time and time again. Remember when you needed some encouragement in your life from this collection of stories with people that even though sometimes they seemed larger than life, when you stop and realize how they screwed up, and oh boy, how they screwed up, you realize that even though these individuals were accomplishing larger than life things by the grace of God, they were still just normal people like you and me. Remember when you realize that? Paul remembers those stories, and he's hoping that Timothy has had this same experience. Reading the Bible isn't a solitary activity, is what Paul is trying to convey to Timothy here. It's a matter of passing on, a matter of sharing wisdom and experience. It's taking those voices that you've heard that have taught you as you read the Bible, even if they're not physically in the room with you. You're reading the Bible with your mom and dad, as they have taught you how to interpret and view the Scriptures. You're reading with the pastors from when you were a kid. You're reading with the likes of John Wesley. You're reading with the likes of St. Francis of Assisi. You're reading with the likes of Martin Luther. When you're reading the Bible, you're taking these lessons that you've learned from all these different voices in your life, these influences, these authorities in your life, and as you're reading the Scriptures, you're remembering how they shared it with you. So when you stop and you read the Bible, you're quickly realizing you're not reading the Bible by yourself. You're reading the Bible with all those who have come before you and have invested in you. You're even reading with Moses, as crazy as that sounds. That's what tradition means in our Wesleyan quadrilateral that helps us better understand Scriptures, the traditional teaching and understanding of the doctrines and the texts of our faith, how they've been passed down to us, how they've been explained to us over the centuries. So Paul is telling Timothy to hold on to what he has been taught, not just the content found in the text, but also the spirit in which it is being conveyed, the mentorship, the passing on of the wisdom, and the call to living it out. He says to embrace the totality of the Scriptures, even the parts that you wrestle with, even the parts that confuse you. And come on, folks, there's a lot in here that's confusing as I'll get out. And Paul is telling Timothy, take it all in, not just the one or two verses that you can feel good about yourself, but take it all in. like that nasty jigsaw puzzle that just doesn't seem to want to fit together. Take in all of the pieces, all of the scriptures, all of the verses in their totality. Keep reading the scriptures. Keep being challenged by the scriptures. Keep being stretched by the scriptures. Keep being troubled by the scriptures. Yeah. Even troubled by these words that force you to ask yourself, am I just going along with the status quo that's not really godlike? Don't just hold on to those places that you agree with, considering your current preferences and inclinations. Keep asking yourself this question: how does this text help me know Jesus better? How is the Word made flesh revealed in this written Word? Because the more you know this Jesus, the more you can preach this gospel. And I realize a lot of what I say right now might sound rather preacher-centric, with phrases like, keep preaching the gospel. Some of you might be like, well, preacher, isn't that what we pay you for? Gracious. But in truth, the text is for any and all of us, because all of us are called to share our relationship with Jesus Christ. All of us are called to reveal that which defines us, the one that shapes us, the one that transforms us, the one that saves us. All of us are called to tell our story in ways that issue invitations and gathers up those who have been left out. And the mentor tells us that it isn't always going to work. Paul acknowledges it's not always going to work, hence him telling Timothy to be persistent, to continue on with the message that you've been taught, to keep on keeping on. There aren't always going to be responses that let us know that we're on the right track. You're always going to be coming across the occasional blank stare.
Get used to it.
Jesus told us this. This isn't new information for us, at least it shouldn't be. In Matthew 13, Jesus shares a story about a sower who went out to sow, we're talking about like throwing seed out, not like needle and thread kind of sowing here. So the sower goes out to sow seed, and he just scatters it every which direction, just trusting that the seed would take root. The seed that was sown on the path, and birds came by and plucked it up, as representative of those who do not understand this message of the kingdom, this message of hope, and the evil one that comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the people that, as someone is sharing their story of how Jesus came into their life and changed things around, these are the individuals who look at you with a blank stare and like, I have no clue what you're saying. I don't get it. And I'm not going to anytime soon. That's the seed that was on the ground that got snatched up by the birds. The seed that fell on the rocky ground that took root quickly but then dried up and withered away. Well, that's someone who's like, oh, that sounds great. That sounds fantastic. I'm going to like buy all into it immediately and impulsively go right into it. But the moment that life gets rough, the moment that they realize, oh, wait, this is going to require some discipline? I'm not so sure I'm good for that. You mean not everybody's going to be happy with me if I do this? I'm not so sure I'm good about that. You know, it sounds great. There's a good book cover. But peace out. They heard the word. It sounded good. It sounded exciting. But they didn't let it permeate and take deep enough root in them to stick with it, to persist with it. Then there are those individuals. There's that seed that fell amongst the weeds and the thorns and the brambles. And the seed that fell among the thorns, it couldn't grow because it was choked out. by said wheat and thorns. That is representative of the people whose whole lives are in a constant state of turmoil and constant state of anxiety, a constant state of allowing hatred and anger to grow within them. And they are so wrapped up in their own life's tragedies and sorrows and anger that they can't allow space mentally or emotionally or spiritually for another story to begin to take root. They just can't process a story of hope and a story of joy. And so this seed, yeah, they absolutely need it, but they're not at a place where they can receive it because of everything else going on. But that seed that fell on good soil and produced good yields, those are the people who not only heard the message being shared with them, but they understood it and they allowed it to permeate their very lives. These are the individuals who are transformed and in turn participated in the community transforming work of bringing the kingdom into our here and now. So it may be true that most of your sharing about Jesus Christ may not firmly take root. I mean, think about that sower. 75% of the seeds, at least, didn't take root. But we're still called to be persistent in casting out that seed, to keep proclaiming the word, because it is needed. There are some ears that are itching, and at the same time, some ears that are desperately wanting and needing to hear it. So the itching ears thing, as strange as it may sound, is rather good news after all. Because there are people who are searching for meaning and understanding in their lives. They are willing to buy into some of the wildest stuff just so long as they can find that something that's bigger than themselves. That can be scary, though. Think of those individuals with incredibly itchy ears that are willing to believe in the latest and greatest conspiracy theory. Well, that seems to make sense and in some strange way, so I'll run with it. Think of that willingness to believe the nonsensical as a form of inner ear restlessness. We quickly come to the realization that idols are made by those trying to scratch those itchy ears. So admittedly, this itching ears thing does sound like bad news. It could be interpreted as such, but itching ears also point to that great need for and a desire for a new story. We all need a good story in our lives, don't we? A better story, a story that has the power to transform our own lives and the lives of our communities. A story like the story of Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom. It's the realization that, you know what? It's true. As great of a communicator as Andy Stanley is, or his dad might be, there's going to be a few people just looking at him kind of strange and with blank eyes. Not all that seed is going to land in the good soil with the way that they present and the way that they share. However, that also leaves room for individuals like me, who is not Andy Stanley or their dad, who they might not be able to reach, might be who I can, and who I might not be able to reach might be who you can. You might not get some of the same blank stares that I get from those same individuals. That is why Paul is saying to Timothy, keep on keeping on, be persistent, don't stop. Because if we're all to be persistent in sharing the faith and sharing love, then we can all share this love from our own perspectives, from our own different ways, so that eventually all might come to know this love of Christ in their own lives. So Paul is encouraging all of us today that in a world that is desperately wanting to hear a story, Paul is encouraging us and telling us that we're called to tell a better story. We're called to tell a story that works, a story that gives shape to a life of joy and hope, even in the midst of heartache and suffering. Ears are itching to hear and believe that story. So how shall we tell it? The way that God is calling us to. Be authentic, be yourself, and share how Christ changed your life moving forward. Because you know that someone's ears are just itching to hear it. So may we be a people who persist in sharing the story of Christ in our communities, sharing how we have been changed and transformed, and by planting those seeds of hope. And in so doing, open it up for a transformed community and beyond. Let us pray. God, we know that we get these blank stares and dumb looks right back at us more often than we care to admit. And yet, we also know that you are calling us to continue to persist in responding to your grace and responding to your love by sharing it, by loving others like you loved us. So, Lord, help us to persist. Help us to hold fast to our faith and hold fast to the knowledge that we are called to respond to it on a constant basis, just as you are constantly showing us your love and grace. Lord, we love you and we trust you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Until we meet again, my friends, may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, the sun shine warm upon your face, the rain fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, my friends, keep on keeping on sharing the story of Jesus Christ, sharing the story of how God is holding all of us in the palm of the Almighty's hand. Amen.